Today we'll be in Philippians 4, 2 and 3 and 4. And today's sermon is titled Harmonious Relationships, Part 2. And I think we'll get to rejoicing in the Lord also as well. That's in verse 4. Before we get started, let's take a moment. A moment of silent prayer, and for us that entails simply naming or confessing our sins. Doesn't mean feeling sorry for them. It just means holding ourselves accountable before God the Father. And the Scripture tells us if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go ahead and take care of that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this church. Thank You for the members. We are grateful for just having Your Word available to teach and to preach and to absorb, to learn from. We ask for prayer for our country, ask for prayer for this church and our just everyone that's positive to Your Word. We know it's not always the easiest thing to come around to, but we just pray for all those who have any wonderment or question marks in their head that they might seek those questions in the right direction, and that is in Your Word. We thank You for all these things. We ask You for clarity today, for understanding and concentration. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, chapter 4, verse 1, I'll start reading. From verse 1, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way standing firm in the Lord, my beloved, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." Verse 3, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So, sounds like a lot of rejoicing coming up. It's always a good thing. And we left off, if you remember, with verse 2. Yeah, I did have that for you, but we left off with verse 2, as you can see. And what Paul was, we knew that Paul, well, one of the reasons, more than likely, that he brought these two names up of these two ladies was because there was some significant issue between them. And he is asking for an outside assistance to come in and help assist these ladies in reconciling some type of disagreement or argument. We're not given the details on it, but we do see that he's mentioning it. And what he wanted them to do was to come to an agreement. If you remember the word, it's phroneo, and it simply means come under the same understanding, to come under one mind, to have unity. And that's why he included in the Lord at the end of that, because that includes your relationship, and it also includes their relationship. And part of that means reconciliation and mediatorship. The only qualified, excellently, perfectly qualified mediator that we have is Christ. So this brought up a point to us that true reconciliation for us between people, every once in a while we all need that or experience where we do need some type of mediation there. Because a lot of times, you know, we have to step back and it's just out of our hands. The situation becomes actually too far gone where your control or your ability to draw it back together is completely removed. And that's, I think, what's happening here is that their ability to come together in one agreement is not available anymore. So in order to do that, bring that back, Paul tells them, do it in the Lord. Grow in grace and knowledge, and that will be something that happens, because Christ is the only one that's qualified to do so. So, and that's why he mentions that. So, reconciliation, and that's what we're talking about here. Ephesians 2:15 and 16 says, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. So the word enmity here means an enemy, hostility, alienation, hatred, opposition. So you can see how bad that was, and that still is when you're separated from Christ. I'm speaking now from a positional standpoint, salvation standpoint. This is how Christ views sin. This is how the status of mankind, how we enter the world. We are born sinners, and we're alienated from God. But the good news, of course, we know, is that God has provided reconciliation. He's provided mediatorship, and he's done it just so we can be reunited in that relationship. See, that's a good example of us not having any power to fix that relationship. And this is definitely a spiritual problem, and it's always a spiritual problem, but it's very clear about how God feels about sin. It separates. And think about that when it comes to not only our salvation, but when it comes to our experience in the Christian walk, in our Christian life. It separates. It furthers the distance between us and our fellowship with God, because sin kind of removes us from the plan of God. It removes us from making right decisions in the right path. So you can see that even though we are together, we are in the family now, but we can still separate ourselves, experientially speaking. And y'all are familiar with that, because you know that's part of the Christian walk, and we realize that we do still have a sin nature. We do still fail, unfortunately. And we do make, you know, every once in a while bad decisions that get us in places that we're not supposed to be. So separation, sin separates, either way you look at it, both positionally and experientially. There's a few passages that talk about sin, and one of those is Isaiah 59:2, and it says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now this is, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongues mutter wickedness. So you can see that there, what this verse is bringing out is separation. His face is now hidden because of the sin, and he does not hear. So when you're hidden and you can't hear, that's what we're referring to when we talk about separation. And the first thing that we need, or what we don't need, when it comes to the plan of God in our lives, is a separation, experiential separation. That's one thing we do not need. We want to be as close in communication as we possibly can. We want to keep the comms up, as we say. We want to maintain a closeness. Yes, God is always right here with us. But at the same time, if we're pushing him away, we push away his power and we push away his ability to help us to perform through his will in our lives. And that's the biggest thing that we should be doing, to glorify God. So it separates. We can also see an example of that in the garden. Remember, it first happened right when Adam and Eve sinned. What did they do? They hid. That's that separation that it causes when we're not specifically when we're talking about people, but when we're referring to perfection versus imperfection, it causes a separation. There's a hiding. There's something that it, you know, it's kind of like when you drop oil in water and you just see it kind of separate. you see that rainbow and you see everything going away from it. That's kind of what it does. It just, it taints everything and it causes the perfection to go away. So we might note that the only reason that this is not separation for us positionally anymore is because of the grace of God. That's the only reason. And experientially, we might say, because we do have the ability to come to the throne of God and confess those sins, because guess what? Every single one of them have been paid for. That's another stumbling block for any Christian. When we make a terrible decision or a sin that we think is horrible, you know, we have to apply the fact that that sin has been paid for on the cross, and that counts eternally. There's a lot of people in this world that think they did something that was bad enough to where Christ can't forgive them. And that's not the case. That's not what Scripture teaches us. And there's no sin or amount of sins, both of those come into play here, that we could do that Christ cannot forgive. And that's just grace. I can't explain that. It's up to me. I'd say, oh, you got 1,000, you're out of here. It's not up to me. It's up to Christ. Grace comes in and it says, you know what? I will take you in no matter where you are in life, no matter your status. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care what you smell like. I'm going to take you in. And that's part of the grace of God. So we can restore. We can restore in both being a spiritually dead believer, and we can restore ourselves being an experientially out of fellowship. And both those things are important for us specifically. And it does show us something important here, that God doesn't want to be separated from you. He doesn't want to be separated from you. Sin does cause separation, but what does he keep doing? He keeps providing paths to meet you right, get you right back. He wants you back. He says, okay, yep, I know you're going to continue to do it, but I'm going to keep providing a means that you can keep getting closer and closer and closer. And that's this relationship that we have with Christ. Remember, we cannot experience a close personal relationship unless we know how to handle sin in our life, and we also have the intake of God's Word. And part of that includes fellowship, bubbling that, right? So think about all these things. God is creating an environment for a relationship, or a relationship with a perfect God. And he's provided all these things because he doesn't want to be away from you. He loves you and he wants to be close and he wants you to get to know him. So, of course, one of the main things he did for us in that area was he sent his unique son, Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, which did what? It made peace between us and God. That's a good word, peace. You know, you see a dove out in your driveway, you think of love, peace. You know, it's a good word. And that's exactly what Christ did on the cross. And this same effect can be applied on a much smaller scale when we bring that back down to our relationships with people. Jesus Christ has the ability to reconcile like no one else. No one else. If you've ever been in a situation where you can't reconcile, it's out of your hands, this is who we need to seek reconciliation from. Because when it becomes out of your hands, the only thing that there is left to do where we can input is farther the separation. That's how that works. If you've ever been in that position where all you want it to do is bring it closer, but you keep everything you do continues that separation, that's the human aspect of reconciliation. That's the power of ourselves. That's all we can do. And that's why Paul mentions in the Lord, because remember, for Paul to bring this up, these two ladies up by name, there must have been something of magnitude here that caused us a disruption in the church, because that's Paul's ministry. the church, the congregation, the Philippian congregation. So he specifically mentions them. And this is coming out, you know, 2,000 years later. So it's not like it's something just Paul writes down and says, okay, he could have just said two women, and he didn't. He included their names. So I think it's bringing out the significance of something that's happening here, and you can think about whatever you want to, but something major happened, and they have a hard time getting over it, and it's affecting others. It's affecting maybe their family, maybe their church, others in the church that are trying to help them. It's affecting them as well. So, so this isn't just a little argument, but it's something that neither party can reconcile, and that's why he mentions Christ here. So, and this is what this passage is referring to. Christ does restore relationships between other people, but only when Christ is working through you can he bring peace, is when you allow him to work in your life. Sure, for the believer, we can hope for reconciliation, but guess what? You will never come to that mind, the understanding. That's really where the resolution happens. It's in the mind. It's not just putting up a front and acting like everything's okay. Reconciliation is something that happens mentally. And you know that because I can bring up some names and instantly we think, okay, oh, there's no reconciliation there. That's a good test. What comes to your mind when you bring up some name, right? Because that shows you that reconciliation really happens not with the speaking. It's not how often we go to see them or how nice we are. It's what happens up here. That's why Paul uses that word, phroneo, because it's coming to one understanding. You can reconcile, and I'm not saying that necessarily that is fake, because you can have a reconciliation on one side of the table, believe it or not. Because a reconciliation, because it's a mental process, is really peace. That can happen between two parties or it can happen with one. Two parties don't always come together. But Paul knows the solution. He's offering the solution. He's making it available. So each person, each individual has to decide on their own. Do they want to partake in the solution? Do they want to take the medication? Or to say, no, I don't want that. And that's our option as believers in Jesus Christ. Do we want resolution? You got to really ask yourself that at times. Do I want resolution? Because we can keep things, and we act like we want to keep that to our grave. So that's a question maybe we should all ask ourselves. Do I want reconciliation with this person? It's not about their personality. It's not about what they did. The question comes back to, do you want reconciliation? That's really what the issue is here. It's not what they did. It's not how long they did it. It's not the person. It's, do you want reconciliation? Because he's the only one that can reconcile this type of situation, the unreconcilable. So, and that can be a struggle. There can be a struggle within you when it comes to people that hurt you. There is a struggle within us that wants to react to the person that hurt you instead of handing that problem over to the Lord. We have that struggle within us because that was a personal thing for us. So they hit us right there where it hurt. And then we have to make that next decision on going towards reconciliation. You don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. But we do have that option. And guess what? That is what glorifies God. Not what we are doing when we say, I want to hold this, and I want to make this decision, and I want to keep this separation. Oh, separation. There's that word again. There must be some type of sin that is separating us. You see how it always comes up? Sin is the downfall of us all, and we realize that, but we have the ability to handle it. We do. We all do. Every one of us do. So you can be in fellowship and you can be out of fellowship, if that makes sense. We all confess. We are forgiven at that moment, even the ones you forget, God knows you're a fallible human being. But guess what? You still have that opposition going on. So as soon as you think of that person, what happens? You're out of fellowship again. So there goes that separation. So yes, you're consistent with your fellowship, but you're also consistent with getting out of fellowship. So that is a process. That's an endless process where we keep going round and round and round because there's no reconciliation here. So what does that create? There's that sin. It knocks you right off out of fellowship. So, and you might be thinking, well, you know, I already did that. I already got in fellowship. I prayed about it. I was taking in the Word every day, and it just didn't work. Just didn't work. Throw up your hand. Didn't work. Couldn't do it. And this is an important but obvious point, that the only side of this process that doesn't work properly, I'll give you a hint, is not God's. It's not God's. And we all know that. But sometimes we do throw up our hands and say, it's not working. I did that. Yeah, I was in fellowship. I was taking in the Word, did everything. We do. Logically in our brain, no, we didn't. I don't know how else to say it. No, you didn't. No, we didn't. We can convince ourselves of that. You went through the stages, but see, there's that circular out of fellowship, in fellowship, out of fellowship, in. So there you go. You're back. Yeah, you did, sort of. But you never let that out of there. You never let that separation go. I don't know what's holding you. It's like, it reminds me of, you know, like roots in you, deep in you, and they're attached. Ever try to cut a wart off and it comes right back? Just like that. It's got roots. Goes down in you. You need to take those roots and you need to get them lasered out if you want to take care of that problem. And the only thing that can do that is the Word of God. In Christ. In the Lord. That's why Paul brings that up. There's your laser right there. So the problem always is that we never really gave the problem to the Lord in faith. We never trusted Him enough to take care of the problem. And then the result is that you always, what? You have that the opposite of what you should logically want. We want, think about this. I could say, do you want to have this resolved? Yes. You will tell me yes all day. But what is the reality is a different situation. There's always a little bit of pride you got to include in here somewhere, right? Because that's why we kind of put up that front. I'm going to get you back and I'm going to hold this front because you did this. See, that's part of those roots that we need to drop. Because what good is that doing us in the relationship? It's keeping us, it's keeping those roots to being attached at the base. Even though we keep cutting the top, fellowship, in and out of fellowship, cut, it comes right back. And that's what we're talking about. That's why He gives us the solution right here in the Lord. When you think of the Lord, the first thing I always think about is His Word. It's His Word. This is the mind of Christ right here. The only thing that can bring two together is Christ. And I mean anything. Son and daughter, a wife, a husband, cousins, family members, long-term friends that were best friends and they became separated. All those things can have resolution in your soul. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be jumping for joy and be friends, but when there's a resolution in the Lord, there is not only a resolution in your soul, but there's some kind of resolution on the opposite end too. You just don't know what it is. The Lord worked that end out for you. And there's no more of that animosity anymore. That's gone. That has disappeared. He'll take that and cut it right out. Burn it out. So, we need to not create the further separation. We need to start thinking differently. We need to start growing spiritually because we grow and then this got us to a point in our spiritual life where we plateaued out. Relationships with people. You can plateau because you can be growing and growing and growing. You hit a test that just stops you in your tracks. That's not what the plan of God is designed to do. Remember, it's an upward momentum. It's an upward thing. And if you're not growing, if you're continuing to do the same thing over and over and over again, we've got to pay attention to those things. We've got to. We've got to say, hey, you know, I'm doing the same thing and nothing's changing. Bing, bing, bing. That should be our key. If things aren't changing with you, with your situation, with your relationships, there's an issue somewhere in the chain. And it's got to be more than likely in that fellowship, in that faith aspect of having the ability to say, okay, this is a pride thing, this is a arrogance thing, and I'm going to take that and I'm going to throw it out the window. I'm not only going to confess it, but I'm going to hand it to the Lord. Because it's His problem. Remember, this is something that is out of our hands now. Remember that? It's gone. It's long years down the road gone. So, is reconciliation possible? You bet it is. Shoot, yeah, if you're walking on this earth, it is possible. All things are possible with God. And this is one of those little bitty things. To Him, not to us. So, because this is a person that you've maybe given up on, you're not seeing any improvement in, things aren't necessarily going the way you want them to go, so you continue to perpetuate the problem. You see that? You continue to perpetuate the problem because you're not seeing any improvement. But did you catch what I just said? Everything is in your mind is dependent on something changing on their end. Now, that's where you're wrong. That's where we're wrong. That's a problem. I don't care if nothing changes. Actually, if it even gets worse, that's where we're wrong. Every single one of us. I'm guilty. You're guilty of it. But we're wrong in that area. It just needs to be brought up. That's all it is. So, whether something changes or is dependent on their end has nothing to do with reconciliation between the two. Because you haven't given anything to God in faith. Haven't done it. Remember, that's a test. Part of this is a test. Yes, it's real life for us. But the other aspect of this is it is a test. It has purpose behind it. It has meaning. It's meant to throw you over the obstacle, you know, to get over that obstacle. It's meant to push you over there, not to keep it and hold on to it and stay and not climb the fence and get over it. No, it's actually meant to further, to reconcile, it's meant for you to watch the Lord work on your behalf. And when you do that, when you see that, you're going to throw your hands up again. Because not only is it going to resolve the problem, but you get to watch it. You get to see it happen. And you can only do that is if you step aside. Step aside. You got to. You got to take that, our pride, take everything that is dependent on the other party. Remove that. That's not a requirement at all. Think about if Christ, He would have said, you know what, I'm waiting on y'all to do something before I die on the cross. I'm going to go ahead and wait until y'all do X, Y, Z before I go do this. Wouldn't ever happened. We wouldn't even had the cross. Notice there's also a grace aspect of this coming in. There's a grace aspect. You have to have grace. You have to understand grace. And you have to be able to give grace to someone you don't even like. It has to happen for reconciliation to happen. For you to come to an understanding in your mind that is different than you had before, you've got to have grace. That's what Christ had to us. If He would have waited, man, He'd still been there waiting. Don't wait. Don't wait. All you're doing really is bogging yourself down in the spiritual life. That's all you're doing. You're bogging yourself down. See how there's no traction there. There's nothing good about that. Even if we got maybe, yeah, I got them this time because you know what? They know I'm mad at them now. I got them good. what, I mean, you know, think about the spiritual aspect. Think about what this is doing spiritually to you. We're talking about moving in the plan of God. They don't maybe even care about that. That's maybe not even their priority, but it is yours. So these are the kind of things that we need to be thinking about when we think about these things that are perpetuated in our lives, and we need to cut them off. We have to cut them off. Got to. So you can't count on positive change from the other party before you have a positive change. That's the point there. That isn't actually applying God's word. So, remember, it's a mental thing. I always go back to that phroneo word. That's why Paul is coming to that understanding in the Lord. Because you have many indicators within yourself to tell you if you've gotten to that spot yet. You've got a lot of indicators. We've got an attitude. We've got speech, how we talk about that person. We've got actions, what we do, maybe what we don't do. All those are indicators of what's happening up here. Actions, what happens, maybe what's not happening. Maybe what hasn't happened in a really long time. That's action. And that's very clear between people. And people know these things when they happen. So see, when the obvious comes out, we have to bring it up. And we have to say, okay, everybody knows what's going on here. And it's spiritually slowing, not the group, just us. The ones that are causing this slowdown. It's our own spiritual life, see? We have to take account. We have to hold ourselves accountability. Hold yourselves accountable. It's almost like we choose to play games sometimes. We choose to play games in this life versus the spiritual life. You can play games in this life, but you can't play games in the spiritual life. You can't do it. It's so real that it happens, the effects on you, no matter whether you want them or not. Your effects of what's going on in your situation may be one thing. Satan is helping you out in that. But what is really happening is may not be what you want to happen. More than likely not. I'm talking about spiritually. So, and the only reason feelings get hurt is because of, or sometimes get hurt, is because of pride and self-righteousness. And that's really the root cause of why human beings hold grudges for so long. But thank God that is not all we have in our arsenal of solutions. Because you know that would be not resolved. We have God Himself. And as you know, we have the ability to function under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the who comes in and takes control and is the only way you will able to hand that over. That's it. Because otherwise, we don't have enough humility. We don't have enough sacrifice in us to give. We don't have it. We won't do it. You've got to be in fellowship. Because the fruits of the Spirit will allow you to have enough compassion and enough impersonal love, unconditional love, to get through this problem. And that's not rooted in you. It's rooted in Christ. Because remember, this is something that is from outside of us, that is available to us. We invite this. God offers it, and He gives it to us, and here we are. We have God's power available to us, but do we want to use it or not? That's the question. I do. I hope you do too. So if you're going down the same path with these people with no resolution or no reconciliation, think about some of these things. Think about them. And here's another point about this is no reconciliation in relationships means no application. No application. You're not applying the Word of God when it comes to that relationship. You may be applying it to something that's easier. Oh, that's a problem. Yep, and I did good on that one. See, I applied that. But here's this one's lingering. Maybe it's a bigger test. You've got to apply. You know, God knows that, hey, this is going to require a little more truth. It's going to require a little more looking to me in faith and allowing me to do it, because if you look at this thing and say, I'm going to try to fix this, it's overwhelming. It becomes overwhelming and it's stressful. It'll stress you out and make you angry. You pull your hair out thinking how you're going to resolve this thing. Not going to work. Don't do that. Don't go through those all those motions. Everybody's saying, I know everybody's got one person in their head right now. Think about yourselves. Don't think about the other person. Think about yourself. Everybody's thinking, well, yeah, this so-and-so should have been sitting right here next. Nuh-uh. Nope. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. This applies to us. Remember I said the reconciliation starts here. Not on that end. It starts in your relationship. You want reconciliation? It's with you. Don't come in here and saying, well, they did this, did that. No, we already talked about that. You've been warned, as the Word of God says, right? It warns us. So, a resolution between people that comes about through application is glorifying to God, because Christ and His Word are the actual ones doing the resolving. Realize that? That's what's actually doing the work. Truth has more power than we will ever know on this side of heaven. Truth. That's just a simple statement. Truth. Truth. In the words, in the pages of Scripture, that same truth you are thinking with. You're applying with. You're trusting with, because of what you've seen in that truth. You've seen its capabilities. You've seen it resolve. You know that Christ is truth. He is truth. And here we are, what we have. His Word. We have truth. So, we're just choosing to make the right decisions to allow Him to help. To come to your aid. To resolve the problem. Resolution. And this brings up a good point, and then we'll stop here, that God is always waiting to resolve. He's waiting to reconcile, waiting for us to apply. Always. See, the holdup is always on our end. It takes an understanding, phroneo, to get to that. Your brain is expanded now. My brain's expanded. Okay, that's what we're talking about. That's the understanding that you can come closer and closer to towards resolution. See what it's based on? It's based on Scripture. That's what we've been talking about. I didn't make this up. This come out of the Greek. This is what the Holy Spirit gave to me. Literally. That's truth. That's what the Word of God does. Truth. So, He's waiting on us. Don't keep Him waiting long. He wants resolution. He wants application of His Word. And He wants you to just accept and let Him do that. Allow Him to do that. So, with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for everything that You do. Thank You for the ability to continue to grow, continue to see more and more details of Your Word. We know that this is the source. Your truth is a source of life. It's a source of everything that we have, all solutions that can resolve any problem. And we just pray that we can continue to look to Your Word. And most importantly, look to the ultimate resolution and reconciliation, which is Jesus Christ. Because we all know, we know someone who does not have that reconciliation. No resolution in that relationship, eternal relationship with God. And that reconciliation is possible. It's actually already been provided in Jesus Christ and made available. So yes, the holdup is always on our end. And the only problem is when it comes to being eternally reconciled with God is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what he did was he came and he died on the cross. He provided its salvation. The question then becomes, do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, what good is it to you? You got to believe it for it to become real. And that's grace. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's what the scripture tells us, and that's what we believe. So we thank you so much for your son. Thank you for your grace for providing that reconciliation. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.